football history.
Football is all a matter of opinion.
What a brilliant Everton goal.
Share yours. 0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Away we go.
Good evening to you. My name's Mick Coyle. Welcome to The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. And we're here taking your calls on the biggest talking points in Merseyside sport. On tonight's Radio City Legends, John called it last week, Loris Karius is off to Turkey as part of a two-year loan deal with Besiktas. So Simon Mignolet is Liverpool's number two this year. Did Klopp get this one right? And what a difference the summer makes as the Blues left Goodison smiling after Saturday's win over Southampton. What's the difference Marco Silva has installed in his squad? Put it into words and tweet us at RadioCity967 using the hashtag RadioCityLegends. More importantly, call us on 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. A very good evening to you, gents. Great to have you both back with us.
Well, I'm not and sure about that.
Yeah.
Oh, no comment.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Loris Karius first and foremost?
Because, yeah, it's a surprise, isn't it?
Well, you called it last week because you said you thought he would be the fall guy in all of it, but you thought that Mignolet being sold would be a more likely proposition. Rumours that Mignolet to Fulham was a potential deal. Hasn't gone through. Instead, Karius, Besiktas, two-year loan deal, option to buy at the end of it. He's played his last game in a Liverpool shirt, hasn't he?
Do you know what? The manager's done well because he was never in any sort of win situation, you know, Karius, whatever happened, it's the best thing that could have happened for him in the fresh start. And it strengthens Liverpool because Simon Mignolet is for me, I've always said he's a better goalkeeper. The only problem with Simon is obviously, you know, he wants to play games now. But I think he's going to have to knuckle down now and just get on with it the way I see it, because Liverpool can't get no one else. They've got to have a second keeper of quality, and he comes into that category. You know, it makes you stronger. I always thought if something was to happen to Alisson, you know, and Karius went in, I think we'd struggle massively because of what's happened and the way his mindset is at the moment in time. He would struggle big time to every game, and you know, he'd be pointed out by the opposition, and he would have struggled. So it's best for all parties, you know. I think it's the best thing that could have happened. And from Liverpool point of view, I'm delighted, because bringing Simon Mignolet back into the equation, even though it's not ideal for him, but you know, you've got to look after number one, and that's the club.
I think it's a strange one, symbolises Klopp.
Hang on, let's get Sharpie on a microphone. Yes. Oh, let's not, depending on how we're feeling.
All
try
right,
again.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just saying, I think Klopp made it clear last year that Karius is his number one. I think what he's done here is, I think he's saving him, saving Karius, because I think it would have been extremely hard for Karius to come back in, as John said as well. You imagine, you know, what's going through his head, the first mistake he makes, he'll get absolutely battered. So I think Klopp's looked at it and thought, maybe there's no way back here, you know, because of the criticism you got over the Champions League final and everything else. And he has got a good replacement in Mignolet there, so he's probably doing the boy a lot of favours here and saying, listen, your best ways to get out here, we wish you all the best. You know, listen, two-year loan deal, that's see you later kind of thing.
It looks that way.
So I think he's doing him a favour, and I think that's the reason why, because it's strange how he's went from being his number one to like, bang, he's flipped it around. So I think he's doing Karius a favour.
Also, obviously, in the pre-season games, he made a couple of massive ricks. You know, I was at Tranmere, and that shouldn't happen, you know. But I think Sharpie's right. He's done him a massive favour, because he's in a perilous position, whichever way you look at it.
Has there ever been a mistake made by a footballer which has had such repercussions, where the club's gone, you know what, we'll back you to the hilt? And Klopp, to be fair to him, back Karius, said very nice things about him, talked about him coming back into the fold and all that kind of thing. But when it's come down to it, they've gone, you know what, it's a two-year loan deal with apparently an option to buy at the end of it as well. That's a very, very expensive couple of mistakes he made in the Champions League final.
Well, no, to be fair, if ever a stage you're looking at the World Cup final, then you're looking at the Champions League final, the two biggest games, you know, on the planet. And to do one's bad enough, but to do two was horrendous for everyone, for the fans. It was just, you know, and even though you felt sorry for the lad because he didn't do it purposely, but you've got to be clinical at the end of the day, and it's for the good of the club. And it'll turn out to sharp, it'll be for the good of the player as well. So Correct decision, absolutely, 100%.
Besiktas, two-year loan deal. It's a long way away, Turkey, isn't it? And it's not where Karius saw his career going. No,
but listen, sometimes you have to take a step back to take a step forward, you know. And I think, listen, he's playing regular football, and it's like a tough league. It's volatile atmospheres and everything else. So it might be the making of him. You don't know, he's a young lad. Now another chapter starts for him. You know, it wasn't to be at Liverpool. But that's not to say him personally goes and says, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to show these that they were wrong to do this. And he goes and goes on and has a successful career. So I think everybody wishes and hopes that's the case for him. But I just think at the time, Klopp had to make a decision. And as I said to you, I think he was looking after him in a way as well.
Although, and he's not in the spotlight now. You know, he's away from the spotlight. You know, all that intensity. And by the way, he didn't do himself any favours, you know, with this Instagram stuff and the Twitter stuff. You know, since he should have kept a low, low profile. You don't do them sorts of things. You don't get involved in any way or form. You've got to be seen to be hating. And that done him no good as well, I thought.
Sharpie's wondering what he did. What did he do on Instagram,
John?
He's just all through the summer, wasn't he, apparently.
He was training. He was working hard in L.A., was it? Something like that. Videos of him running up hills and stuff like that.
It was all sorts on there, yeah. So.
Listen, there is. I don't think there is a doubt about his attitude and that he wants to be. It just hasn't happened. So, listen, Liverpool fans will be glad to see him out the door. Maybe some will be sad. But at the end of the day, the boy has made a decision. Liverpool have made a decision. He moves on and gets on with it now. And listen, the Turkish League, there's still some big games in there as well. So it's not as if he's going to go and play along one man and his dog watching the game. Yeah. You know, it's going to be like a volatile atmosphere and everything else. So,
and it is there, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the thing when they go, you know what, Lawrence, we think that actually you might struggle in the atmosphere of the Premier League. You might get a load of sticky. You go, right, where are you sending me? Turkey. Oh, thank you very much, you'll say.
Yeah, he might get a little bit of stick, but he probably doesn't speak the language, so he won't know what to say.
Right, let's go straight to the phones. Let's get Kev, who is a Red. He's in Melin this evening. Evening to you, Kev. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie. Just a quick word on Karius for you, pal. Right decision?
I just think after that Champions League, you know, I know they gave him a good reception coming back to the friendly with Torino, but I think his days were numbered. You know, he was never, you know, never going to come back from that, I think. It's pity because I think he did have potential. He just made, you know, one of those things, and he, you know, two big mistakes on the most important game of the season, and I think he's just paid the ultimate price now, but shame.
I know you wanted to talk about the under-23s coming through.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, just looking about this new academy now being built, obviously they started to build it in Kerb, you know, the extension to it. But I just wonder where these potential for these lads to get, you know, the same for Everton, same for City and everywhere else. I just don't think there's any way through for these lads for the under-23 because, you know, it's a shame because, you know, we've got so many great players. But I just can't see where they're going to find a way into this team. I think we've just moved on a level now. And I just feel so sorry. I mean, I watched the under-18s as well the other night against Sunderland. And they were seen better than the first team. They were absolutely fabulous. But I don't know. I just think, you know, just trying to think there's a potential for any of these 23s that's gone to Rangers, gone out on loan everywhere.
Yeah, it's a business now, isn't it? That's the way it works. No, you look at every player's got a value now, and with Neymar going for the 200 million, whatever it was, even these young lads' value, you know, in the millions. You know, you've seen Liverpool get rid of like Stewart to Hull last year for six and a half million. So they've all got a value. So you've got to keep with them, you know, to get the money back into the business type of thing. That's why a lot of them going on loan. Chelsea started it at once. They had 35 or so on loan at one stage. And Liverpool's had quite a few. And you want to see them getting better. And with all due respect to the under-23 league, I like watching it. But, you know, the lads need to get out into, you know, the Championship or these leagues where there's 5,000, 10,000 watching them. You know, and it's a much better, more competitive.
But the only thing as well, you look at Liverpool now and you look at Trent. Alexander Arnold, he's got through. You've got to be special.
That's right.
You've got to have it. And I've listened to Steven Gerrard say about you need that passion and desire and craving to be the best you possibly can be every single day. Not every kid that goes through the academies at Liverpool, Man United, Everton are going to get there. But what you hope that they do, as John quite rightly says, is they move on and play. But I think to get into the Liverpool's first team or whoever, you have got to be exceptional as a kid. Yeah. You have got to be exceptional. Along the way, you've got to have your luck as well, and you've also have to have coaches that believe in you. But to get notice at first, you have to be something special.
That's right, spot on, Kev, you know. And the one lad at the moment that I've predicted to do really well is Curtis Jones. You know, he's a local lad.
I think he's absolutely fabulous. Yeah. You know, him and I hope the other fella, Phillips and centre half, I hope he gets a chance, because I tell you now, they both of them in the pre-season
Phillips
just outstanding, you know. Yeah. Centre half, Phillips.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you've got, you know, you've got to have managers like, you know, Klopp's, he'll give him an opportunity. He's not scared to give him an opportunity. You look what the Everton manager did at the weekend. You know, he played Holgate instead of Zouma. You know, good management. You know, yeah. Won the game, and Glad probably deserved his place. But he, you know, and then Zouma's chomping at the bit for his game. And you know, you've got to be able to do that as a manager. And Klopp's not, he's not scared to put the kids in and give them an opportunity, as we've seen in the past. You know, which is great for the academy as well, because that's why people will come to Liverpool. You know, because you know this manager will give them an opportunity if, as Shabby said quite rightly, if they're good enough, and they have, you've got to be, you know, exceptional this day and age. Yeah.
All right, Kev, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate that. 0151 472 0967 if you want to have your say. We've got plenty of Reds actually getting lined up as well. We're going to talk about Naby Keita, people talking about him as well. Sharpie, I don't know off the top of your head, how much would a club put into a player to get him through the academy? You know, we talk about selling a player at under-23s level for £6.5 million.
Depends on how much wages he's on.
Well, that's the thing, but does it pay for itself? Is that the first thing you get the 23 set up in the academy to pay for itself?
You probably see, Mick, you probably look at the academy system and how much football clubs spend in their academy in the hope that they get one through. It's an incredible amount of money they spend in the academy and all the teams. But they will have a goal where they say that this year they want three players to play in the first team or five players to play in the first team. So the academy are under pressure to produce these players. But listen, it's becoming harder and harder. And because it's becoming harder and harder to attract the players in the first, the times now where, because you're a Liverpool fan, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go and play for Liverpool. Because if Man City come, you know, waving cash or whatever to the parents and all that kind of thing. So it's a whole different area now. Whereas in the past, if somebody came for Johnny, wanted to go to Liverpool, he'd jump at the chance. But now it is so difficult for clubs to get the best of talent. And I've just said to you before we came on air, I'm looking at that documentary at the moment about Man City. And you look at their academy and their setup and everything else, it's incredible. So it's becoming harder and harder. So I think it's, if they can get ones through, and as John quite rightly said, if they can sell them on and make money out of that and maybe recoup some of the money they've invested in the young players. But I think it's becoming harder.
Let's talk about the Blues,
Man
by the way.
Man City really, you know, for the last few years, they've been shelving out so much monopoly money for these scousers, you know, local lads that we know, you know, prizing them away from Liverpool and Everton, which the parents probably need the cash. You know, and they're going, well, I'd love them to go to Everton, love them to go to Liverpool, but even those silly money, so go on, son. Go and have a go there, innit?
Let's talk about the Blues and a performance against Southampton that I think a lot of fans are quite happy with. Let's get Ray on the line. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo, Ray.
Hello, mate. Hello, lad. You all right?
Hi, you're all right.
And Joseph.
Hi.
Go on.
How's it going?
Yeah, go on. What do you make of that performance then?
Absolute quality, mate. Really, really impressed. Made some great signings and we're now starting to play football again, which was lovely to see. One touch stuff, lads moving, and I thought mate Ziggy was outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Ray, I agree with you. I thought after the game, he got man in the matches in the lounges and all, I thought he was outstanding. I couldn't believe, you know, I read the local paper tonight and they gave him man the match to Walcott, which I just couldn't get my head around at all. I thought Sigurdsson was outstanding. But amazing when you think Everton's last home game last year was against Southampton, and the style of football in that game where we drew 1-1 to what we saw at the weekend. Night and day, Ray. Night and day in terms of there's more of an attacking threat. At least they knew, they'd more of an idea how to play. They competed. You know, I thought Southampton started first half and tried to kick lumps out of us. But I thought the lads competed and got the goals. Got a little bit hairy at the end in terms of, you know, never. Walcott had a chance to maybe put the game to bed and they missed it.
Oh, yeah,
and that gave them the opportunity to try and maybe nick something. But overall, two games gone, what I've seen so far, yeah, I've been quite hopeful. But what I would say is it's still a lot to do. And I still think we conceded a soft goal. Danny Ings, we conceded another. He would be disappointed with that, the manager. And as I said, I think there's a lot more tougher tests coming up than, no disrespect to Southampton and to Wolves.
Well, do you know what, Sharpie? I've got to be honest. I, as a centre on 7-1 for Danny Ings to score, I knew he'd come back and want to score. I knew he'd come back and all. I just thought, do you know what, John Aldo's had a little chat with him and said, go on, lad. Go on,
hey, by the way, what do you think about the... Should the goalkeeper got sent off?
No.
There's a bit of a follow through, you have to say, wasn't there? A little bit of a follow through. Did they have any? Was there anything going on between them two in the game beforehand? Because it's not like the keeper to do. No. I don't think there was enough to send them off personally. Mm. But when I seen it in slow motion, I thought, ooh. Mm.
Do you know what? Also, I've got to be honest with you, mate. I only retired 2 years ago from playing football. I've been a goalie for like 40 odd years, and it's something I do. If you don't like the centre forward, just follow through.
Yeah. No,
oh, it's a really nice that, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Let's be honest. How many times, hey, Sharpie? How many times have you seen the red noses slide in over the ball? Come on.
Oh yeah.
Once.
Listen,
I remember.
We had to look at. I always remember it. And Ray Clements was always the one that used to come and get the ball.
Oh, with his knees into
his knee up.
Oh, yeah, you stayed away from him, didn't you?
So you knew, like, you had to get a chance of getting them back, so hey-ho.
I remember at Oxford, we were playing at Arsenal, in the FA Cup or League Cup in the mid-80s, and Pat Jennings was in goal for them, and a cross came in, it was 50-50 between me and him. I thought, I'm going to score here, just get me head to it, score. And he realised I'd just got there in front, so he missed the ball on. He absolutely flattened me out, by the way. He bingoed me.
Big hands.
I'll tell you what, it's one of those where he knew he couldn't get the ball. He's gone, well, I'm not getting a ball, so he's having it, you know.
Oh, well, I remember, although, remember Di Davis?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He trained me when I was 12. That was one of the tricks that he taught me. So we're going back here. Sorry about the Sharpie, your little mate here, Joseph, as well.
Hi, Joseph. All right, pal. Did you enjoy the game Saturday?
Yeah.
Who was the top player? Who did you think was the best player on the pitch?
Richarlison.
Oh, they are. You've got a new hero. He wasn't far behind. I thought Sigurdsson did well, but Richarlison is at three goals. And what did you think Walcott did well?
Man of the match.
I'm Pickford with a save.
But if you ask me, Joseph, I would give it to Sigurdsson. I thought Sigurdsson was great. Everybody did well, but I thought Sigurdsson was the man.
How old are you, Joseph?
He's eight. Although
the lad who goes
home and away.
Do you, Joseph? How come you're not a Liverpool fan, mate?
You've asked him this before. he actually likes speaking to Sharpie, so you've got
no chance there.
This is a family show. We won't answer that question.
Ray, Joseph, well, thanks for your time. That's appreciated. Radio City Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. We've got loads of calls lined up. More calls on the way. You can be part of it too. 0151 472 0967.
Red and blue banter and debate.
Call now. 0151 472 0967.
The Legends.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's all about the Reds and the Blues on the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. My name is Mick Coyle. Sharpie's here. Aldo's here. Of course, at Everton, victory for them at the weekend. Liverpool in action later on as well. Let's talk about the Reds. We've got Dave the Red in Bootle. He wants to talk about Naby Keita, Aldo. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be positive about him as well. What do you reckon, Dave?
Listen, lad, I do want to talk about Naby Keita, but I just want to know if we can get in touch with Esther Hansen and Childline, because the poor kid called Joseph, and he's being dragged to watch Everton home and away, according to that last caller. And I don't think that's fair. So
next caller, mate. Next caller.
No, honestly, no, I'm joking. Like, Jay, good on him, home and away at that age. That's brilliant, and he'll be a legacy for the future for the fan base. But no, all seriousness, some of the signings we've made, before I touch on Naby Keita, I just think what Klopp's done this kind of transfer window is he's focused really on players that he knows will slot straight in. He knows even Shaqiri, he was a no-brainer because he's Premier League experience. The goalkeeper, we know he's not played in the Premier League, but we've got him on the old rugby pads, so we'll be fine. He'll get used to the hustle and bustle in the box. Obviously, Van Dijk, when we bought him, again, plenty of experience. And Naby Keita, he's unproven in the Premier League. But even watching him in pre-season, I thought, wow, what a player. you know, I don't watch the Bundesliga. I didn't watch much of him when he was at Leipzig. But he just looks like he's ready. He's ready for the Premier League. And I just think he will give us that extra dimension, a bit more of a combative midfielder. Yeah. He's snapping at people. He's harassing them. He's a bit like Mascherano was, only a bit further up the pitch. And I think he's just going to give us that little bit of quality that we've lacked. And I just want to know how you think he get on in his first season. Both of you, please, lads.
Yeah. What you said, spot on for me. What he's done... I think one thing you can say about our team last year, you know, the defence got better when Van Dijk come in, you know, a lot more solid. The attack spoke for itself. But in midfield for the last, you know, it's been okay in midfield, but sometimes it's a little bit unbalanced. Just not. I think this fella balances it all up. You know, he can doggedly defend. You know, he harasses the opposition. But then when he gets the ball, he sees that final pass. I watched him last week. I wasn't watching the ball. I was watching what he did. But he goes into them little pockets of space in between the defence and the midfield of the opposition. And he's hard to locate. He's very clever. And once he gets in there with the three lads we've got up front, he'll cause danger for a lot of teams this year. His final ball is very, very good as well. You know, I did watch him play in the Bundesliga. He was quite exceptional, you know, but he got sent off a few times. But I think that was, you know, he's a little bit impetuous because he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be at Liverpool last year. But I think he's going to be an excellent signing, absolutely.
Yeah. What I saw of him, John, I thought, yeah, he's better. And that's no disrespect to Henderson or Chan or Milner or everything else. I think he's better than them in terms of what you said, in terms of he'll create a pass.
Yeah.
He'll see something. I think he'll score as well. Listen, that's not to say that Henderson and Milner, you know, can't still do a good job. But I think when I saw him last weekend, I thought, he's an improvement. I think he's a very good player.
Yeah. I think the other lad, for being able to take a bit of time to settle in, because it is different to what he's been used to in the French league. I just think, you know, and the manager knows that he won't be getting. A lot of games this year. Get some, obviously, but I think Henderson will come in there with Keita and another, you know, Wijnaldum and Milner. I don't know, but he's got options in there, you know, especially with Keita, he gives him better options go forward.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the frustration that we've had. I think at times has been in the midfield with Henderson and Chan and people like that. You know, you always think their first thought is not always to go forward. Mm. It's often to go sideways or backwards. You know what I mean? I just think. Straight away, when you see Keita, he received the ball, he'll take it on the turn, he'll lift his head up, and he's like you said, he's looking for the forward pass. And that's if you've got somebody that can do that, you don't need everybody doing that, but if you've got one person that can do that, while the others are doing all the donkey work behind you and mopping up and keeping everything tight, then that's great. I think that's the dimension that we've missed, I think, in the midfield. For the last few seasons.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah.
Great call, Dave. Appreciate that. 0151 472 0967. Of course, Liverpool in action tonight. Crystal Palace, will touch on that as well with a Red who's a little bit nervous about tonight. But we'll come to Gary from Bootle. First up, Phil's in Prescott. Evening, Phil. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo. You want to talk about the Blues and you're impressed by what you've seen so far? Do us a favour, mate. Turn your radio off in the background, Phil, and then we'll come to you in just a moment. Everyone talk amongst yourselves. He'll turn it off. Then we'll go to him and we'll go. Evening.
Evening, boys. You okay?
That's there you go. Right, Phil.
You happy man, Phil?
More than happy, mate. Yeah, more than happy. We haven't seen the other lads yet, but what I've seen and the pressing football that we did at the weekend, especially the first half, and everybody's got a smile on their face. The fans, the manager, the players. It looks like a united club again. The lads with Charleston looks value for money at the moment. Mega. Value for money, even being honest. He can only get better at his age. But just even the back four look settled. The midfield, I've always said when lads were giving Schneider and stick last year, he is a great player. It's just, will he play for the manager? And they all look on board at the moment, Graham. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think they do. I think that there's been a reaction. I think it's been a positive reaction. Phil, you look at last year playing Southampton at home, last game of the season, to what we've just seen at the weekend there, you know, by far and away a far better performance, and everything you said there I totally agree with you. The only thing I would worry about is, again, the kind of goals we're conceding now. I look at what we've got coming up in terms of games. We've got Bournemouth away, Rotherham in the Cup, Huddersfield at home, West Ham at home, Arsenal away and Fulham at home. These are all games, and I know Arsenal have got a new manager, but the other games are games that I think are games that if we're going to push forward, we've got to win these games. And my only worry at the moment is we're conceding daft goals. And, you know, and I think it's great when we're going forward and thinking, yeah, this is a lot better than what we witnessed last season. And all credit to the manager and the players for that. But I think we need to tighten up. And I think when we go into playing the better teams, the Man Cities of this world and the Chelsea's and the Arsenal's, Liverpool's, I think we have got to get a lot better defensively. I don't know if that means them bringing in the new guys, Zuma and Mina or whatever. And I think Mason Holgate did really well at the weekend, fair play to him. But I just think we're going to get bigger tests, you know, after the first half a dozen fixtures. And I think that's when we can look at it and say, yeah, OK, have we moved forward? Are we better than last year? Certainly in entertainment-wise, we are. But I just think I just have a little worry at the moment, the way we defend at set pieces. The goal we conceded on Saturday was schoolboy right. stuff. So that's a worry for me.
Yeah. I agree with you there, Graeme. Well, you know, I think what he's brought shrewd.
Yeah.
The lad, Mina, and the other lad from Chelsea.
Zuma.
You know, I like Zuma anyway, mm-hmm. even when he was at Stoke. And he's a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, no disrespect for Keane or Holgate, you know, they've got different attributes.
Yep.
But these lads, he's got a physical presence about themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it makes a massive difference. And I think once they come into the squad, and Silva looks like a manager that can adapt to whatever team he's playing.
Mm.
He's not, let's get nine men behind the ball and leave a striker up front like we've done for years through various managers.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he knows what he wants. He wants pace, he wants togetherness, and he wants to play football. And the crowd, I've got to honestly say, Sharpie and John, I hadn't felt that sort of mood for quite a long while in the Park End on Saturday.
Mm.
And it can only get better. And, you know, lads have said to me, good lads, genuine Liverpool fans, what do you want this season? I said, a decent cup run, decent finish in the league. A spot, most of all, having a laugh with them. I'd like to win the derby.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way this lad's looking is silver. He's looking like we can take a team that won't sit back, that can attack.
I think you're right, Phil. I think you're spot on. I think there's a lot of positive signs. The boy Ricarlison, a lot of money, people raise their eyebrows, but I think what I've seen so far, I think he's a young player who's only going to get better. He excites the fans, and that's what they've been crying out for. You know, the football last year was incredibly dull, you know, even though, you know, the previous manager was hailed the fact it kept us up when we finished in eighth position. The football wasn't good enough. Now I think we've got somebody who wants to play the right way, the way the fans want to see their teams have a go when they go away from home to the top teams, have a go. You know, go and take it to them. And I think Silva will do that. And you're quite right. I don't think he's a defensive coach. But certainly, hopefully, there's more entertainment on the way.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. That's Phil the Blue on 0151-472-0967. Got team news in, Aldo, from Crystal Palace. Liverpool starting 11.
Same as last week.
I'm going to say, unchanged.
Yeah,
unchanged.
We knew that was going to happen. It was hard to change it, really, I thought, after a good performance like that. And Milner played really, really well. But you know, for me, the bench, you know, that says a lot, you know, what Klopp's done. You know, Moreno, Henderson, Lallana, Matip, Shaqiri and Sturridge. It's strong, you know. It's what you've got to have this day and age. You've got to have someone who can change the game on the bench. And we got like Shaqiri and Sturridge and Lallana who possibly can do that if need be.
Mignolet on the bench as well.
Mignolet,
so that's
yeah.
Loris Karius done from a Liverpool point of view. Alisson, Alexander-Arnold, Gomez and Van Dijk with Robertson. Milner, Wijnaldum, Keita, Salah, Mane, Firmino up front. Liverpool versus Crystal Palace, which is the evening kickoff. We've got a Liverpool fan on the line who's feeling a little bit nervous about tonight. And I think we're going to speak to him in just a few moments' time on The Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Call now 0151
An hour of football banter and debate. The Legends.
Radio Radio City and Radio City Talk.
So we know that Liverpool are unchanged going into the game against Crystal Palace tonight, with options on the bench, including Simon Mignolet, not Loris Karius, with the headline being that it looks as if he's off to Besiktas as part of a 2-year loan deal. Might well be the last we ever see of Loris Karius in a Liverpool shirt. Someone who's feeling a little bit nervous about tonight is Gary the Red. He's in Bootle. Evening, Gary. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie, the Radio City legends.
Oh, Aldo, these are the sort of games that force me and the missus to open up a bottle of wine. It's not on. I hate these games. I'm probably more nervous about
any tonight. Excuse, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, midweek as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are the sort of games that we usually struggle. And do you think that Klopp has addressed that? You know, the situation that we've seen, like last season and previous seasons under Klopp.
Oh, we lost him.
Enough there.
We lost him. There we go. Hang on. Go again, Gary Lowe. We lost you there, pal.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Where was I?
Something about Klopp. You said Klopp and then you stopped.
All right. Do you think Klopp has addressed the situation that, you know, that...
Going again.
There we go. We lost him. No, we lost him. Let's try and get this one. There we go. Well, let's try and blame Gary, but then let's see that it might not be him. There we go, Gary.
Well, guys, you can get there eventually,
time,
mate.
Third time looking.
Is it my phone line or yours?
Yeah, let's just blame you. go on, give us your best shot now.
Right, okay. So, the reason we're nervous is because of the way Liverpool play in the past, you know, against the likes of these teams. Has Klopp addressed that? Although, do you think that we're not going to have to sit there, and even if we're 2-up and think, oh no, or you know, or we're 3-up and then we concede, and you think, oh no, here we go again.
No, I think that's his philosophy. You know, you just want to play all the time and attack all the time. You know, sometimes it's not ideal. I know where you're coming from. Sometimes you say, well, but sometimes if you sit back, you allow them to come at you. You can allow them back into the game. You know. We've won some games last year 5-0 away and all these mad results away, you know. Porto, for instance, brilliant. You know, Brighton away, we smashed them, you know, and other clubs as well. Yeah. He doesn't want to change his spot, so you've got to respect him for that, I think, you know. He's absolutely. You want to, you know, close up shop and all that, like, but, yeah.
It's the same philosophy as Man City have got.
It's the same, absolutely.
They just want to go and attack. Yeah. Go and attack. And of course, they want to defend when they have, but they wouldn't set out specifically to say,
yeah, that's right.
I'm going to defend.
Yeah, that's right. So I think you just got to trust him, you know. You got to just trust the manager, you know. Since Van Dijk's come back defensively, we've become a lot better. You know, I think with this goalkeeper again, it'll tighten things up, you know, quite a lot. I think I think myself today is just a little bit. The bench is very strong. I think Gomez could be a real good centre half in the future. I think they'll pinpoint him tonight. They'll try and put Benteke on him and Zahar on that side with him and Trent. You know, the two younger, less experienced lads. I think Palace will try and play on that somewhat. You know, where Robinson's concerned, there's no problem with him. You know, he's probably the best left back in the league, or you know, right up there with the others and Van Dijk. So that's a little bit the inexperience on that right hand side. But just trust Klopp, mate. Yeah, yeah.
You calm me down anyway, although.
Just open that bottle away and you'll need it.
I hope it's a Rioja, mate.
It, no.
Nice Rioja.
Hopefully we don't need it. But there's just one other question. Is there something more to the Lovren situation?
Don't know.
We're not being told, do you think?
In what way?
That's just something I read today that made me think, you know, maybe there's maybe a falling out or something.
What did you read? Upgrade me, go on.
Well, he's supposed to have some sort of stomach injury.
Yeah.
But he's been selected for the... Croatia
national team.
Oh, has he for the next game? Well, Liverpool say he can't go.
But you're supposed to go, aren't you? You're supposed to go. You register and then you come back. That's the deal, isn't it?
Probably Liverpool. You know, you've got to look at the bread and butter.
But we've had this argument before. How silly is that? If he hasn't played any games for Liverpool this season, why are they taking him to play in the internationals? He's obviously
it's only a friendly as well.
Ask Martin O'Neill. He's the one who does it to your boys all the time.
No, I don't know. There's anything untoward? I don't know. You just don't know. But, you know, obviously, you know, Dejan thinks he's one of the best defenders in the world, doesn't he? So, I don't know.
Would you rather see him here tonight?
You want everyone fit. Yeah, you want everyone fit. I think, you know, we're looking for that player who's going to be ideal alongside Van Dijk, isn't he? Which centre-half is going to be? Clavin's gone. Is it Matip? Is it Lovren? In the future, will it be Gomez? Well, that's a wait and see. You know, if you were to say at this present moment, if the three of them were all fit and ready, who would you go with? You'd probably say, well, because of the World Cup, Lovren, probably. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he's an accident waiting to happen, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and he can't believe his own write-ups and think, you know, he's that good. Because when you think that, you're going to do something wrong, you know. You just got to keep your feet firmly on the ground and, you know, and concentrate on your game. And that's his worst part of his game is his concentration for me.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. Cheers, you settled down there. That was like a little therapy session.
But he's on his second glass of wine, isn't he?
Chris is feeling positive. He's a blue at the moment. He's in Hale. What evening, Chris? You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
Evening, lad. You okay?
Hello, Chris.
Yeah. I just want to say, boys, last season, I remember sitting watching Newcastle game and the atmosphere being so flat even though we were winning. No one was bothered. The players didn't look bothered. The fans didn't look bothered. And already, this season, the total change in atmosphere. And it's the same team other than Richarlison. It's exactly the same team. So, you know, the other lads haven't even come in yet. And just this change in the body, the, like, you know, the body language of them all. They're happy, they're up for it. I mean, Gylfi Sigurdsson was just unbelievable on Saturday. You know, the energy, everything he done was absolute quality. And I just think it just shows you what, you know, having someone who the players believe in, who the players want to work with, just it's just so key. It's not all about spending millions on all these players. Like I say, we've only got one new player who's played.
Chris, you're spot on, and the good thing is that we've got those new players to come in as well. You know, when, once they bed in, and by all accounts, the boy Gomez is quality, the boy Bernard's quality as well. The two boys at the back are give you a physical side of the game. I think the one thing on Saturday I was really impressed with was our set pieces, where, you know, Keane got on the end of things. So, you know, you bring Mina and Zuma into. I'm not saying that he's going to play necessarily in front of the Holgate and Keane, I'm not saying that, but we've got different options now, and you're spot on. The players look as if, I know it's easy to say this, they look as if they're fitter and they're hungrier than what they were at the tail end of last season.
Oh, absolutely. One player who obviously got a lot, all the lads got stick off season, and rightly so, because they were onto it, but one player in particular was Morgan Schneiderlin.
Yep.
Now, he looks, I mean, we as soon as he went off, Graham, you know, we lost a bit of shape.
Yep.
And I tell you what, I think he's going to have a really important season. I think he's believing in himself. I think he's the Rolls Royce that we signed first under Paul Koeman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the bang, you know, the old banger who was last season. I think the lad's been absolutely brilliant in the first two games. It's great to see.
Chris, it is, and as I said before previously, when the likes of the boy Gomez is fit and Bernard's fit, the manager has got selection problems. That's what you need. You know, I think you look at, I thought Idrissa Gueye was fabulous again at the weekend, the amount of ground he covered and interceptions. Yeah. So you're looking now at competition for places. I think last year, you know, there wasn't that competition, and I think players were playing week in, week out, immaterial how they played. But I think now what he's done, and I think all credits to Marcel Brands as well, is the fact that they've looked at what they've got. I believe that, you know, Bolasie's gone out to, and maybe Besic as well, to Middlesbrough. You know, so what he's done is he said, right, okay, we need this lot out and bring the players in. And I think they've done a great job up to now. You know, obviously, come January, whether they want to do something there as well. But certainly, listen, we're not getting carried away with things. I said to the other caller, there's still things we need to brush up on.
But
certainly, a lot more enjoyment. And I looked around Goodison on Saturday, at least people with a smile on their face. And we're enjoying it, but something we haven't seen.
That's been the frustration, 18 months, you know, the fans all last year must have been horrendous for you, having to deal with the way things were on and off the pitch.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air. Another manager comes in, wants to play the game the Everton way, which you're used to over the years. He's bought, you know, some good players. You're looking at the player you're talking about. You know, he wasn't a bad player. Like, he's never gone a bad player overnight. You know, he's an excellent player. You know, so it does. You know, it lifts the gloom away from the place, doesn't it?
All right, Chris, good call. That's Chris. Everyone's very positive tonight, by the way.
Great, isn't it?
Where's the angst?
I just hope we win. That's
Well, I'll tell you what, let's speak to another Red who's, I'm sure, looking forward to watching the game tonight. He reckons they've got a squad that can really compete this year. We've got Martin and Crosby. Evening, Martin. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie, the Radio City legends.
Evening, lads. You okay?
Hello, Martin.
Bringing up really, I was at the West Ham match and it was good to get that first game out the way and that win. But just impressed now with the strength and depth that we've got, and you feel as if we can now push forward and make a real challenge. I think looking back to the Champions League final when after Salah went off and there was nothing really there, was that was going to make a difference.
No, that's right. Yeah, we got, you know, obviously the manager realised that. We all knew that, didn't we? You know, when he brought Chan on, you know, and he'd been out for so long, I thought, wow, you know, it shows you where we're at. And obviously he's highlighted that and gone out. And you look, as I just said before, we've got game changers on the bench, you know, three or four there. So yeah, no, he's done very well. You know, the thing is now to keep everyone fit and chomping at the bit, you know.
And I'm really made up for Sturridge, made up that, you know, he looks sharp. Cause I
don't talk too soon, whatever you do.
Just, no,
you know, temp fade. You know, if again, and
he's probably just slipped over in the kitchen or somewhere.
Well, no, you just don't know, and he looks like, you know, he's been frustrated. What happened? He wasn't in the European final. He wasn't in the World Cup with England, and really. He he's chomping at the bit. He just want to, if we keep him fit all the season, which is, I think it's highly unlikely, really, the way things are for the lad. If we keep him fit, he'll be a big player for us and within the squad, coming off that bench, starting some games, you know, because he is class. When he wants to play, he's class. So just fingers crossed for him, you know, because it'd be great if that could happen to the lad.
All right, Martin, thanks for the call, pal.
Cheers, Martin.
I don't want to bring things down, but Shabby, you've hinted a couple of times about Everton defensively as well. They've conceded a couple of goals where balls have been bouncing in and around the box, the six-yard line. Is that about the centre-half pairing? Is it about the goalkeeper taking ownership of that area a little bit more?
I think it's the way they're setting up, and it's that zonal marking again. You know, we can have
a zonal mark under the Allardyce?
What did they do under Allardyce? Well, just in general.
Yeah. I don't know. If somebody can phone up and tell us, let me know. But I think the zonal mark now. Listen, some people are for it, some people are against it. This is the way he wants to go. And I've said it before, if the players are comfortable with it, they need to get their heads together very, very quickly, because the goal we lost at the weekend was scandalous. You know, Danny Ings 6 yards out, nobody anywhere near him, and he puts it in, kind of thing. So, you know, they've got to brush up on that. Listen, am I in favour of it? No.
The thing is, when you, it's all a psychological thing for me, Corners, because when you do concede, you're very touchy, you're very nervous on situations, and more often than not, it falls for the other player. But when you're confident and you're positive, you tend to deal with it more. But if you keep on... Because it's always highlighted in the team talks and you know, in the training ground. So it's always in the back of your mind.
But is that not about your combination of your centre-halves and how they talk to each other, how they communicate? They know instinctively where the other two were, whereas Everton have had different combinations in each game, and presumably will have another combination going into the next.
But listen, there's pros and cons to everything. You know, some like it, some don't, whatever. But I just think we tried it many, many years ago, and I didn't mind it, because if the ball was in your area, go and head it. I think if you're marking man-to-man nowadays, I think there's so much blocking and everything else, you can easily lose your man like that as well. So there's pros and cons to both of them, but at the moment, and I'm looking at all pre-season as well, the goals we're conceding are crazy goals. So I think whilst it's been positive start to the season, I think if they try and eradicate that, and I talked about the two signings, Zuma and Mina, who are the size and everything, who can be a plus for us in an attacking point of view, but also defensively as well. So I think, you know, and Mason Holgate and Michael Keane have done ever so well, but it'll be interesting when everybody's fit and raring to go, what he goes with. And with those two, I think he'd probably go zonal. I think he'd go zonal.
But, I mean, Liverpool have had Virgil van Dijk being a good example now, Sammy Hippier, Stefan Ancho, going way back to Phil Thompson and those types all the way. If a ball's coming into the box, there are players who are going, look, my head's going on this, and nobody else's.
Different breed from our... Hey, we set up. You'd always have your striker front marking the near post. You'd have someone on the near post, someone on the far post, and then there's a pick-up, you know, height for height. That's the way we dealt with it. And if your man scored, it was your fault. As easy as that. But then managers and coaches see it different ways. Mm-hmm. And hey, if a good corner comes in and someone's attacking, yeah. it's really hard to defend sometimes, yeah. isn't it? Yeah. And if the second ball falls for them, there's nothing you can do about it. Mm. And sometimes you just go through games where for some reason it just happens and there's nothing you can do about it, but then you get touchy a little bit and you know people can criticise you, put your finger at it, and that's the way
it's
football
like Crystal Palace tonight, you know, with Liverpool on down there, and Liverpool supporters going down, they've had a few on tonight, will be looking at it and thinking, oh, they get the ball and you've been taking the box, it could cause mayhem kind of thing. That's just the way you are, you know, because you go to places where you haven't had a decent record and you think, oh, I know what this is going to be like. They're going to knock balls in, they're going to put us under pressure. It might be totally different tonight, I don't know, but I'd expect Palace to try and get balls in the box and upset.
Yeah, they'll go the wrong way. What he did last year, and he's very defensive. He knows what Liverpool potentially are like going forward, so they got everyone behind the ball. They left Benteke up there. Zaha was coming into midfield, but when they got the ball up to Benteke, he would try to join in. When he gets on the ball, he's dangerous. He's the best player. We know he is, you know what I mean? And then Sharpie's right. They'll be looking for, you know, long balls into the corner, set plays, corners, to hit Liverpool.
Fullbacks might have a busy night tonight. Zaha, Townsend as well, Benteke in the middle as well, Crystal Palace, Liverpool. Let's get some more positive blues on, shall we? He says for the last time this season.
Oh, that's nice, hey?
We don't know.
I thought you'd done quite well.
Oh, we've just lost it. We've lost a positive blue.
That's right.
I've lost
a
positive
blue. Are we having a quiz here?
Do you want to do the quiz?
Yeah.
We've only got a couple of minutes left.
We're on later tonight, aren't we?
Oh, well,
Christian's got us on later tonight.
What time? Yeah.
Producer Christian's getting an extra 5 minutes.
Are we on bonus money here?
I'd like to think
extra time money, yeah.
Christian says he'll sort it out.
Right, hang on a minute.
All we want, Christian, is take us out for a few beers once, you know. Dave didn't take us last year,
no,
did he?
No, he didn't, no.
Right, I've got my buttons here as well. I'm going to press all these in all the wrong order. Right, we've got your mystery voices. We'll do them at the end. But in the meantime, questions 1 to 4. Although, pick a number, 1 to 4.
2.
Who did... This is the Everton question. Oh. Who did Marco Silva make his Premier League management debut against?
Liverpool.
No, see, Christian's writing these questions. It was Bournemouth on the 14th of January.
Dear me!
Was it the 14th of January?
It was the
14th. I have 19-1 chance of that one.
Hang on.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch.
Rock, sport and talk. This is Full Time with Matt Jones. Radio City Talk.
Hodgson tonight, who was Hodgson's first competitive game against when he was in charge of the Reds.
I'll go Newcastle.
Absolutely no idea.
This is Full Time. Rock, sport and talk. Radio City Talk.
You could have this one, Aldo. Stig Inga Bjørneby scored the first goal of the 96-97 season. I mean, we're all remembering it, don't we?
Yeah, I do.
Who did he score it against?
Oh, dear me.
I think I know this.
No, I...
I do.
96-97, I think it was Tranmere manager then. I wouldn't have a clue.
Go north.
Have a guess. Newcastle.
Ooh.
Rock, sport and talk.
Full Time with Matt Jones.
This is Radio City Talk.
Peter Beagrie scored the first goal of the 93-94 season. Beagrie's goal came against what team?
Southampton.
This is Full Time with Matt James. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Even when we were in LA, we were spending about half the year there and half the year in New Jersey.
Who's that?
Even when we were in LA, we were spending about half the year there and half the year in New Jersey.
Henry.
No, it was Bruce Springsteen. Who's this? Who's this?
To rule the world.
Oh.
To rule the world.
She turns 60 this week.
Oh, Madonna.
Madonna.
Oh!
Aldo, I don't know how, but somehow you managed to get a score draw from it. We're back on Monday.